Hello, podcast listeners. This episode you're about to listen to is from the 2022 Be More Digital Conference. If you like what you hear, why not join us at the 2023 conference? It is going to be held on the 9th of March 2023 at the Novotel London West Hotel. We would just love to see you there. Visit charitydigital.org.uk for more information on all things digital. Enjoy.
I'll just to really quickly introduce them, Adam. We have Adam, who leads Okta's Tech for Good team, empowering the social sector to safely use any technology. And prior to Okta, he spent 10 years in the education industry working to improve experiences and outcomes for vulnerable students. And he currently stays connected to education by teaching at the UC Berkeley Haas School of Business. And has a passion around bringing rigour and creativity to mission-driven teams, which is, again, right up the street of, I think, of what we're going to hear today. And then John is a senior manager on the product marketing team at Okta, responsible for discovering, defining and quantifying the value proposition of Okta's software solutions across industries and geographies. He's passionate about telling stories, using metrics and data to translate technical benefits into tangible business cases to empower organisations to drive positive outcomes. So again, hopefully you can see why we have them here today. Oh, and he's an avid Formula One follower and pizza enthusiast. A great combination there. I like that. And just a reminder again, just that obviously after today, the exhibition is open all of the day. So do please come and visit, obviously, our partners Okta afterwards, but all of the other partners we have here today. And then thank you again to our event sponsors, particularly our headline sponsor, Salesforce, and all our gold and silver sponsors for making today possible. So with that said, then please, Adam, John, please take it away.
All right.
That's lovely.
Okay. Hi, everyone. So John and I have come all the way from San Francisco to be with you today because we really care about this community, and we're excited to learn with you today and hopefully share something that's really valuable. That's our goal. Just before we dive into the particular content here, could you do me a favor and give me a show of hands if you are an Okta user or Okta customer currently? Okay. How about you've heard of Okta, but you're not using it? Great.
How about if you've ever had to present a business case around investing in a piece of technology, or you've had a business case presented by someone on your team to you as a decision maker? Okay, good. You guys are in the right place then.
Yeah, that's good. Just checking. Great. So very briefly, we're not going to talk a lot about Okta today, but I'd be remiss if I flew all the way here and didn't tell you a bit about what we do. But Okta is the world's leading independent identity provider. In a basic nutshell, we help people securely log in to anything. As was mentioned, I lead the Tech for Good team at Okta. Our job is to enable the social sector to safely use any technology. That means getting our technology into the hands of charities, as well as giving away money. And very happy to come chat with you outside after the session if you want to learn more about Okta. We'd love to help you out. So we'll skip past our introductions, which we've already done. We're gonna have some fun today. It's gonna be a bit interactive. That's why there's papers about. I hope that you're ready to dive in and do some thinking about your organization. We're hoping to give you a very, very simple framework, as the name of the session suggests, to quantify and communicate the value of tech projects to various stakeholders. We'll give you a bit of a chance to play with that simple framework here. It obviously goes much, much deeper. In fact, John's whole body of work at Okta and his team do this in depth with customers in a much more robust way, and so we're just sort of bringing just the basics here today. I don't think we're having that much fun, Steve.
Yeah.
Okay. So before we dive in, I would love to tell you about a time when I absolutely failed at communicating the value of a technology project that was important to me. I spent about 6 years as a trustee for an adolescent mental health agency that 10 years prior to joining the board I had been a client of. And I mentioned that I'd been a client of this organization in part to help destigmatize mental health, but also just to convey to you that this is an organization that I really cared about. I wanted them to be successful, which is why I chose to join the board. And I was pitching the executive director on replacing our 25-year-old client database, which was built with FileMaker Pro, with a modern electronic medical record system. I was sort of a security and privacy geek, and it really bothered me that this system couldn't support multi-factor authentication, especially in an organizational culture where, and no judgment here, you don't have to out yourselves. Many people had passwords written on sticky notes that dangled off the edge of their monitors in the same office where we had clients walking around. So I was touting the compliance benefits of moving to a new system to the executive director, because I thought that that's what he would care about, so he would want to move to this new system. And I was really frustrated when he brushed me off month after month for a year. I even said, I'll lead the search and negotiation process to make sure we get a really good deal. We ended up getting a new system, but it was only after he had hired a new head of programs. I had assumed that the executive director cared a lot about compliance and about this database, and I was right about one of those things, the compliance piece, but he didn't actually work with the database. So he was not the key stakeholder for that piece of technology, and the previous head of programs had been using it for a decade, was, again, no judgment, but a bit scared of change and new technology, and he did not feel, the executive director, that it was worth his time or worth sort of spending the social capital to force her to change the database, or this was not gonna work in the organization, not valuable enough. So that was the mistake. I just didn't make it valuable enough for the people that mattered. We all have all of these different stakeholders in our own organizations, and so I'm gonna sort of put up a couple of slides here for some different stakeholder types. Just gonna give you a few minutes to read these and let it wash over you a bit and think about whether you've heard any of these things in your own organization. So leaders of organizations often ask, even if we have the money this year, what about next year? We don't wanna sign up for something that we can't sustain, right? That's a big one. Also, what are other organizations like ours doing? We're not going to be the first to do some new thing. Okay, how about our operations leaders? How's it actually going to be used? That's what they care about, right? Does this work well with what we already have? And as a matter of fact, while we're talking about it, we're too busy for anything new anyway, so please don't bother me. Right, we're running programs. Right? Our data is sensitive. Can we customize? Will we be supported? We're actually out there on the front lines. So if this is you, or this is people you work with, then you know that implementing any kind of digital strategy, some new piece of technology, requires buy-in. Battery's low.
Technology.
Requires buy-in from all kinds of people, right, with different interests. And so we want things to be successful. We want them to be collaborative. What we're going to do today is a very simple framework John's going to explain right now for how you take whatever it is you are working on and try to find common ground by articulating the value of that project with people that do other things from you in your organization.
Yeah, perfect. So I think we have a lot of technical folks in the room here today. I've had some great conversations earlier with folks who are IT managers, who run their own application stack at organizations. And we often think about technology investments as being wholly IT related. And what we see is somewhere like Adam's nightmare scenario, you've got this lone warrior spearheading something that they're really passionate about, that they see the impact of because they have that technological background. And what they do is they focus on the technology, the acronyms, and ignore exactly those questions, or not ignore, but just have a difficult time articulating and answering those questions that we saw from stakeholders on the previous slides. On the other side, if you are one of those personas and you are asking those sorts of questions, there's an expectation that if this technology, if you use precious resources to invest in something, that you should be able to prove out the value and show the impact a year, 3 years, 5 years down the road. And so across all of these different personas and different stakeholders, you know, being able to tie it all together as an individual can seem pretty daunting sometimes. And so what Okta has done is over the past 5 or 6 years, built an entire practice. We call it our business value team, and I'm on the product marketing side. We also have folks that are in the field building business cases with prospects or coming in with current customers and really helping, as Brad articulates so well from Mercy Corps here, really let's get beyond just the technology solution and really look at the entire organization. How is this impacting us? Let's actually quantify this and back to the title of the presentation, you know, those anecdotes about high fives in the hallways and people saying, hey, I love this new solution, it's making my life easier, that's great. But to really have a concrete asset that everyone can look at, can share, and really see the value is crucial for moving some of these initiatives forward. So this framework is how Okta decided, again, 6 or 7 years ago, that a software solution like ours impacts customer organizations. And so you can see nothing up here is really focused on the tech stack. There's no jargon necessarily. Everyone is trying to reduce cost. Budgets are tight, right? Particularly in the charity and nonprofit space. Enhancing productivity. So I had some great conversations this morning around, you know, folks that come in and spend an hour every morning or 2 hours every morning, you know, pulling different updates from different databases, trying to combine whether it's volunteers or patients or clients that you're serving. That time could be probably better spent elsewhere. And even though it's been done the same way in a lot of cases for 5 or 10 years, having someone who can say, hey, let's actually do some back of the napkin math here and look at where we could potentially focus that time, focus our resources and staff, and allow them to be more productive. GDPR, I love Adam's story. The compliance piece cannot be overlooked. I know that's top of mind for everyone. And then ultimately, how do we accelerate income? How do we make it easier for someone to donate, to volunteer? How do we increase that conversion rate, more effective email marketing, all the above? So I want to touch on Achievement First. They're based in the US. They're a charter school system. And we work with Marcus Stewart, who is their head of IT. They've been a Okta customer for a couple of years. Big organization, right? They're serving thousands of students. And when COVID-19 happened, they had to figure out, how do we transition to remote learning quickly? And so within, I think it was 2 months, 2 or 3 months-ish, they were able to go 100% remote. They had 145 applications that they were able to integrate with Okta. And when we actually came in, conducted, using this framework, you know, asked questions around cost savings, increasing productivity, keeping everything secure, so these students' information secure, we actually measured over $1 million in benefits. And it almost sounds like Austin Powers, right? You're like, $1 million, like no way. It sounds like a fake number. But let's actually look at how we quantify this and how this is one way, right, that you could structure on one slide something to share out with other folks in your organization. And I want to focus on a couple of these. So if we look at the second line, the reduced cost of server maintenance. So this is, you can plug in whichever time-consuming, frustrating process you have in your organization and think about, hey, is it actually 200 hours a year, 10% of someone's time is spent maintaining an old solution? Or enhancing productivity. What if people are submitting password reset requests multiple times, right? And getting locked out of applications for 4 or 5 hours at a time. They're unable to get their work done. But then you also have someone who is usually covering multiple different bases, wearing a lot of different hats, that's trying to reset those passwords. So looking in terms of hours, the realized hard savings, the partially realized hard savings, soft benefits, which sometimes can seem not quite as impactful as the dollars saved, but still, going back to that productivity, and then of course the security piece as well. So being able to see all of your users, knowing who has access to what, if someone leaves the organization, are they still able to log in that following weekend and access critical information? Being able to quantify that and think about what can we do to really show these time savings, right? And the math is not the hard part. And hopefully you guys are reading some of these rows. You can see a lot of this is pretty simple. It's 5 minutes, it's 15 minutes, but extrapolated over a year or a couple of years, you can see 1,000 hours, 9,000 hours, several $100,000. It really, really starts to balloon.
I'd also like to point out that you may be looking, if you look to the, I know this is a bit of an eyesore, so we're going to spend a little bit of time on it, settle in, it's okay. Some of you are like, spreadsheets, yes. And some of you are like, can I leave the room, please? Don't worry, it's fine. The column second from the far right, it's under hours. You'll see realized hard costs, partially realized hard savings, realized soft benefits, and then this sort of risk cost avoidance, these different categories. I know that when we say money saved, Many of you are just thinking, okay, that's hard costs, right? That's like dollars in my budget, or excuse me, pounds. It's, you'll have to forgive me. I know we're it's just you can take the American out of America, but so it's money that is not going out the door. That is certainly one category of value. And for some of your stakeholders, that's going to be the only thing that matters. That's fine. But for others, and I would argue often for funders, sometimes trustees, if that's relevant, what we don't often point out is the soft costs, because it's capacity is another way to think about that, right? Which is, you're funding us to do certain things and you talk to us about capacity building, but we're spending all of this time doing something that we could automate partially or something like that, right? And so talking about that as capacity building is really, really important. And many of you already know this, and so it's about how do we communicate this as effectively as possible so that a funder, the light bulb goes off and they go, oh, I do understand why this tech investment is actually program related or is actually capacity building, even though it's a CRM or something like that.
Yeah, no, that's so important. And so this is one example, right? But knowing where you can pick and choose and what's gonna resonate with each of those stakeholders, there's not gonna be a one size fits all approach. It's really all about identifying, the compliance piece, what's gonna matter for all of those personas we covered. So we said we want to keep this interactive. I feel like we've already done a lot of talking already. If you didn't have to convince anyone else, if you were working in a vacuum, you said, hey, I've got this project, I want to pursue it, it makes sense, it fits with our goals, that would be easy. But I know that all of you have projects and investments that are top of mind right now. And hopefully what we can do with this exercise is to just kind of get the juices flowing, start to think a little bit about, okay, based on different folks' role, whether it's someone that is more technical, maybe less technical, how would you start to build out that business case for them and start to quantify some of those benefits beyond just the features that you're aware of, translate it into something that's gonna resonate with them. And so we put together these little worksheets. You've got the framework there, similar to what we showed earlier in the presentation. We've got an example, so actually identifying who is the person in the audience, who am I presenting to, right? What is it that they care about most? And then how could I put together a quick calculation, whether it's cost savings, is it increased capacity, to be able to translate that investment into something that's going to resonate with them beyond potentially something that resonates with you. So really translating those benefits. So the example here, clients per employee. So for example, if you were able to go from serving five folks a day to seven, what does that look like, right, for your organization extrapolated over a month or over a year? So we've passed out some notepads. We've got some pens here. Think about at least one metric for these different calculations. And if you don't have a pen or if you don't have a sheet, we've got some more up here. We're happy to pass them out. But we're just going to pause for a little bit. Adam and I can walk around as you guys are kind of thinking about this. And then would love to hear a couple of examples towards the end, if anyone is comfortable sharing.
Of course, we'll come back together in about 10 minutes and sort of do a bit of a debrief and hear from each other like what made sense, what didn't. But one last note to get you launched in the right direction here. The key with the framework, and why we're calling this a framework, these four categories, is that, as John mentioned, these are four things that basically every organization has to do in some way or another. And so that's the common ground we're looking for. And so if you want to do something and you hadn't thought about the value of what you want to do in the context of one of those four categories, that's the homework right now. Which one of these categories, or which, maybe all four of them, does your initiative touch? Because that's the common language of organizations. That's at least what we're offering. That make sense? Cool. So we're gonna turn these off. We'll wander around. Well, I wish we had some music. Hadn't thought about that in advance, but and then we'll come back together.
Is anyone willing to share? We've got a lot of good discussion happening amongst everyone here in the audience. Anyone willing to share just the initiative that you were discussing or that came to mind that's most top of mind?
I work for a students' union, and I'm already partway through this process, but it's quite helpful to think of all our stakeholders. So we're looking at a membership system that we want to implement. So we've got masses of stakeholders, from our trustees to the chief exec, and then every different department that's going to be using that system. Mm-hmm.
It's a big project,
Yeah, it's a huge project.
What stakeholder or stakeholders did you think about?
So I thought about our student voice and representation team.
Okay.
So they're the ones that do the kind of inviting students to have their say on stuff and all our elections and everything. And they're an interesting one actually to try and work through this thing, because they want student engagement, but actually the enhancing productivity so they can get out and talk to students is probably their key driver within this, I think.
So if they can meet with 5 more students a day, 10 more students a day, right?
Yeah.
That would be meaningful for them.
Yeah, if they can get off our kind of clunky current system and do stuff quickly, I think that would be a huge driver for them.
That's a good example.
Maybe another question here, not to keep you in the hot seat for too long, but thank you so much. Do you know, does that team have like metrics or indicators that you know of, things that they quantify already for themselves?
Not yet. They're in the process of doing them.
Yeah, it makes your life harder when they're not measuring their own success well enough, because you're like, if we just get a metric, then I would know how to. Yeah, it's good.
Okay. Yeah.
Thanks so much, Annie.
Yeah, thank you,
Appreciate
Annie.
It. Who's going to join Annie?
So I've just been convincing some of our team to roll out the use of Zapier. I don't know if anyone's come across that one. But actually getting the team not to be scared of tech has been quite big, because their fear was that their team weren't going to be able to adapt to the new tech and the new stuff. And they were like, that's going to take longer because it's new and scary. So actually getting over that hurdle and selling it to them on the 2 hours of training and you're there was really useful.
Yeah, and that's where we're quantifying that time spent. You know, when we talk about cost savings, or it's not always a solution that you're able to get rid of. A lot of times it's, hey, if we have this change management program, and actually scoping out what that would look like. So if it's a 2-hour training, is it 3 days? Sure, that takes everyone away for a couple of days, but what does that mean over the course of the next year, right? And it's like, okay, well, we're used to this, we're actually really fast, but asking those questions, and there's a couple of pieces to this that we're touching on in these examples. One is that it's really hard to have metrics, right? It's really hard to quantify and be able to go to teams and say, how many students are we meeting with every day on average, right? Maybe they don't know. And so sometimes you're starting with that first guess, like how much time are we spending a day on this old system. It's okay to guess initially. And I would say it's also okay for the solution providers that you're meeting with and potentially investing in, ask them to have examples. So just like we flashed up Achievement First or Mercy Corps, say for other organizations that have used your technology, you know, what have they seen? So if it's a way to access more funding, you know, say, okay, what is the average amount or additional amount of funding per year that some of your organizations see, right? And it's okay, they should be able to have an answer. If they say, I don't know, then okay, that's potentially problematic. But it's to the point now where so many software providers, a lot of folks that are here today at the conference, they have teams, they have frameworks, and they've got enough reference points that they should be able to point to and say, hey, this is a similar organization, similar industry, similar location. This is what they experienced. That's not a guarantee that you're going to have the exact same result, but it can at least help you fill in some of those blanks so that as you're going to other teams and saying, hey, I know this seems something, you know, that's potentially scary, it's new, but let's look at one of our peers, let's see the results that they've had, and hopefully we can achieve something similar.
One thing that I was chatting with Richard here in the front row about was the realistic way that these things actually end up going down, and we were talking about the fact that no complicated or important project ever got done because someone wrote an ironclad business case and everyone just said, oh, well, great then, we're all on board because of your business case, right? But it can be a component, right? There's still, as you were describing, people have feelings, right? And we're often talking about changing the way people do their job. It's very sensitive, right? They're afraid they'll be left behind, they're afraid it will be slower, that they'll seem dumb. It's like, these are real human things, and we don't mean to suggest that this framework wipes all that away, but it can start to help get to speak a common language if we're talking about the same outcomes and the same value drivers. I don't want to suggest that it's just fill in the spreadsheet and then everyone's on board automatically. We're just coming up on the end of time here.
Thanks for listening. If you enjoyed the podcast and found this content helpful and would like to attend the 2023 Be More Digital Conference, you can purchase tickets through the charitydigital.org.uk website today.
We hope you enjoyed this Charity Digital podcast. The views, thoughts, and opinions expressed are those of the speakers and do not represent the views, thoughts, and opinions of Charity Digital. The material and information presented here is for general information purposes only. Thanks for listening.